I'm not going to be long. I want to take this opportunity, however, to salute the angel of this house, the director of this program, my good friend, Reverend Brian Jenkins. Give him a real big hand. I'm glad to see our other colleague, Brother Clarence. This is an awesome ministry. It's very different than the context that I work in, because what Brian does is really what God has asked us to do, and that is to show love in a tangible way. I mean, if you love me, I want you to do something to show me that you love me, other than just telling me that you love me. And so I appreciate and salute this brother for how God is using him in this part of God's vineyard in such a magnificent way. And because I am so committed to the ministry that Brian is doing, I want you to know, Brian, that I did bring with me, it's in my hotel room, but you'll get it before I leave. I bought you a gift for this ministry of $1,000. Now for the word. The word is this. You can look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you are coming out of this. That's my word for you tonight. That whatever you're going through, you are going to come out. There's a preacher, Beecher Hicks, Dr. Beecher Hicks, says that there are really only three kinds of people. There are only three kinds of people. There are some people who are on their way to a storm. I mean, you're going to run into something before your lifetime on this earth is over. Probably before tomorrow is over, you're going to go through and run into something. There are some people who are in a storm right now. You're in some stuff and you don't know how you got in it. You don't know how you're going to get out of it. And there are some people who have just come through a storm. You just found a job. You just feel better from the sickness that you had. God has just mended a relationship. And so this text where our lesson is found, this is Jesus, and Jesus is talking to one of his main boys, Peter. Peter was bad. Somebody said that Peter had to be a brother because Peter would cuss you out. I mean, you know, when folk were messing with Peter, when people were messing with Jesus, Peter was Jesus' homeboy, and he didn't talk a whole lot. High priest was messing with Jesus. Peter reached out, took out the sword to cut his ear off. Jesus had to say, hold up, Peter. Those that live by the sword will die by the sword. And so God calls them by name. They're having a meal. And right after the meal, we're going to eat in just a minute. They were having a meal like we're going to have tonight. And after the meal, Jesus had a word for his main man, Peter. And whenever Jesus calls your name twice, it's because he has something very serious that he wants to say. And so he says, Simon, Simon. He's not Peter yet because he's still a little shaky. Yeah. They call him Simon. He's calling you. Your name might be Mary, Mary. James, James. Well, across the day, we give people these names I can't even pronounce. You know, we name them like Mercedes or Cadillac. But if God calls your name twice, because he has something significant that he wants to say. And so he gets Peter's attention. He says, Peter, Satan desires to have you. That's the job of the adversary, to mess you up, to mess with your mind, to make you feel that you can't go any further, that things are always going to be like this. He says, Peter, Satan desires to have you that he might sift you as wheat. I knew I was coming here. My man, Brian, is a very intelligent man. And, you know, he finally thought I was worthy enough to bring me down to Chosen 300. So I did a little research on this sifting as wheat. If you know anything about wheat, when it's taken up, it's very raw in its raw state. And they put it in this sifter. And in this sifter, they have to shake it and agitate it to get all of the impurities out of it so that you can get what will be pure wheat. And that's what you use to make your cornbread. But you got to get the impurities out of it. So life, sometimes God has to shake us up. Stuff happens so that God can get our attention. I mean, if you never had a problem, you wouldn't know that God could solve them. I mean, if you were never homeless, you won't know what it's like to have a job. But when you get that job, you're going to be able to declare that God is good. If you're jobless, if you're homeless. And I remember back in the day when I lived in New York, Brooklyn, they would put your furniture out in the street. My sister and I, we came home one day and we said, oh, somebody got put out. We had no idea, Brian. We lived in one of those railroad flats. Went to put my books on the table. Books fell on the floor. Looked out there. It was our furniture that was in the street. I know what it is. And I remember my mother. We moved just one block. We moved in with the roaches and the rats. And so sometimes stuff happens so that God can get our attention. And that's why I'm so passionate about helping people in a tangible way, because if somebody hadn't helped me, I wouldn't be here today. I'm here because the man who adopted me, who was my dad, but he adopted me when I was 12 years old because I came to the church as a homeless person with holes in my shoes. But I can tell you that if you hold on to God's unchanging hand, he's going to bring you out. That he might sift you as wheat. Here it is. He says, but I have prayed for you. Now, I like for somebody to pray for me who knows the Lord. I mean, when I get in trouble, I go to the old saints of the church who can testify that I was young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I prayed for you that your faith fail not. That's why Brian wants you to come and have a word from the Lord before you eat and before you get back out in the street. You see, because it's the word that's going to keep your mind. I mean, some folk, if they had to go through what you are going through right now, they would go out of their ever-loving mind. But Jesus says, I prayed for you that your faith fail not, that you don't go crazy just because things don't work out exactly the way you want them to work out, or it doesn't work out when you want it to work out. But through it all, you'll be able to stand firm, because you know that they that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. I'm almost done. I'm coming home, Brian. I'm coming home. That your faith fail not. And when you are converted, that's it. Don't worry about it, Peter. You're going to be tempted. You're going to deny me. And you're going to feel guilty about it, but you're coming out. Now, when you look at the end of the story, you know that Peter betrayed the Lord three times. And when the Lord was being taken out, Peter looked at him and went out and wept bitterly. But the text says that on Resurrection Sunday, when Jesus got up from the dead, the only disciple that he called by name was Peter, said, go and tell my disciples and Peter, that I am risen from the dead. And so as I come to a close, I want you to know that whatever it is, you are going to come out. You are going to get that job. You're going to get that house. God is going to touch your body. He's going to mend that relationship. And when you are converted, strengthen your brother. And so when God blesses you, you've got to help somebody else. I'm so glad that the Lord has blessed me so that I can be a blessing to somebody else. And so when it's all over, your testimony ought to be, if I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word of song, if I can show somebody that he's traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. Give God praise, honor, and glory in the house of the Lord. Now, I don't know how they do it at Chosen 300, but back in Brooklyn, we just believe that when God is present in God's house, when God's word has gone forth, when the Spirit of God is moving on the altar of somebody's heart, a decision ought to be made for you to connect and to make a decision. You know what? Whatever that brother's got, I want that. Whatever that spirit is that's in the room that I'm feeling in my heart, I want to connect with that. And so if you feel a little tug on your heart, I know somebody came and you didn't think that you were going to be able to experience the presence of the Lord. But I can feel in my sanctified spirit that there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and it is the Spirit of the Lord. So we want to give you an opportunity tonight to make a decision for Jesus the Christ. If the Lord is speaking to your heart right now, let me see you just raise your hand. If you want to give your life to Christ, you want him to walk with you, make a way for you out of no way, open up a door that no man can shut, shut a door that no man can open, just lift up your hands and say, I want to give my life to Jesus the Christ. All you have to do is this. Here it is. If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. All you have to say is, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. In the name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Come on, let's give a great big hand to the Word of God. How many people are coming out of this? Coming out of your circumstances, coming out of your challenge, coming out of your difficulty. I'm coming out. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank God for that wonderful word by Dr. Thornton, and we're excited. And thank you so much for your commitment and your gift. That means a lot. Thank you so much. You know, a lot of times we invite guys to come and speak, and they got their hand out to get something, but really he came with his hand extended to say, how can I help? And that's really says something special about you. I want to thank God for you and your congregation and all the people up there in Brooklyn. Amen. We're going to have the blessing over the food. If you prayed that prayer tonight, you accepted Christ, we encourage you to come back and be part of the fellowship on Sunday morning. And if you're not, we don't want to, not in this particular area, you want to be part of another church, make sure you find a Bible-believing church where you can be part of God's work, and that's where you can grow in the faith and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Let's look to the Lord as we bless our food for tonight. How many people are ready to eat? Amen. Oh, only two? Let's try it again. How many people are ready to eat? All right, good, good. I just want to make sure we have a lot of food and I want to make sure you eat it. Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you, God, for just the word of God that was shared tonight. Lord, now we ask that you bless this food that we're about to receive for the nourishment of our bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say amen. Amen. Now, they're going to be bringing the food out. Before we do, Dean, can we just do one thing? He has a son here, Isaiah, from Brooklyn, and he just says, want to play with the keys just for one song real quick, and then y'all can go take us to church, all right? And you didn't think you was going to get out of that, Isaiah, did you? Your dad already said you was playing. I'm just kind of doing what I was told. So give a great big hand to our Isaiah Thornton as he just gives us something real quick, and then they're going to bring the food out. Come on, bring the food out now. We can bring the food out now and just get set up. All right, Brother James, you can come on down here and pick one side of the room. Let's get the drinks out first. Go ahead and start doing that, all right? Let's quiet down just a little bit so we can hear this, okay? Thank you.